Appreciate each one that's here this afternoon. Desire your prayers. We have something on our heart that I believe the Lord laid on there. We need Him to help us to deliver it. We desire your prayers. Appreciate each one that's here at the meeting. I've got enough to keep us going for about 2 hours, but we're not going to preach that long. We want to talk on a subject by the help of the Lord that we live in a dark world. You believe that? We live in a real dark world. A world that is so dark, I've never seen it as dark as it is now. And we need to do something about that with the help of the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness is called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Do you like light? What would you do without light? A professional janitor, well, anybody's cleaning, has to have light. We can't work without light. And you got your artificial light, you got your natural light, you got your spiritual light, and your natural light is one thing, and you got your sunshine. You've got your artificial light, as I call it. And these things are a blessing. There have been times that I've cleaned and thought I'd done a good job and got out and looked back across a table or something that was in a window area and looked across it, and I hadn't done as good as I thought I had, because God's light had shined down and illuminated that, and all the dust was not all gone like I thought. So today, we like light. God likes light too. God created the light. He created the light, the natural light, God's light, heavenly light, however you want to say it. And He made that, and He made that for a reason, to help you and I out. But then, Jesus come along, and there was a second light. And that's the spiritual light. And Jesus gave His very light for the spiritual light. They wanted a plan and a way that would put it where that man could see something was happening in the world. They needed somebody to live for him. They needed somebody to do the things that need to be done by the Bible and by the love of God and the power of God. And they needed that to be set in place whereby man could see, hey, there's a better way. Just like was preached last night and preached this morning. Listen, folks, today there's a light, and you and I are part of that light. God calls us, and He likes light too. In other words, what I'm saying is He wants you and I to be a light that will shine out to everybody, no matter who it is. He wants us to shine in a way that will get people's attention, whether we're walking down the street, whether we're living on a job, or whatever it might be, wherever we might be, flying in a plane, riding in a train, riding on a bus, riding in a car. They want you to be able to live a light that will get people's attention, whereby Jesus can say, thank the Lord for that light. Lord, help us this afternoon. All right, 8 chapter of John. And about the 12th verse, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Thank the Lord for that light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I am thankful this afternoon that he come down and he gave me a calling in 1971, and he worked with me and he dealt with me, and I finally humbled my heart and begged for mercy, and he saved me and he helped me to have a light. The light of Jesus Christ flowing into my soul, the illumination to the Word of God, the illumination to the things that he wanted me to know and understand. I'll never be able to get everything out of it that there, but the Lord has showed me different truths and things down through the years. And it's because his light has been shining on. And then he wants me to take that light that I have. I was in a business the other day, and this is a car business, used car business. And D.L. Moody, if I remember right, before he was a preacher, he was a salesman. And he sold shoes for his uncle, I believe it was. And so when things got slow, he would literally go out of the business onto the street, come in here, we got shoes for sale. And he would encourage them to come in. He was a top salesman. So these salesmen that John Wigger had working for him, I would tease them when things would get slow. I said, well, you know what D.L. Moody done? He went out on the street and he propelled them to come in. You guys need to get out on the street and propel them to come in. They kind of look at me funny. Well, the other day I opened my mouth to another salesman, I don't hardly know him, and to a young lady that's been working for John for a number of years, I know her. And anyway, he said, well, Carl, that's what they did across the street. I said, well, what is it over there? He said, well, it's one of them CBD shops or marijuana places. And said, the guy's carrying a sign around and propelling people to come in. I said, shame on the devil. And she looked at me, and boy, she attacked me. But I didn't back down. She let me know my daddy needed some of that stuff. I said, it's still wrong no matter how you look at it, Arthena, and I'm not going to back down, and I didn't. I turned to the preacher, that the other salesman was a preacher, and I said, do you agree with her or with me? He said, I agree with you. I don't believe in it neither. Listen, folks, today there's times that your light is going to be strong, loving, and secure, and you stand up and you say, that's sin, that's wrong, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it, praise God. But the day the bowl left, and all of those people out there that's in the depths of sin and spirits and everything, they're getting mighty bold out there, folks. They're getting real bold, and they're attacking people. Somebody shows up to give a speech, and they just tear it up, try to get a hold. One girl was fearful for her life because there was so many of them. Even the police was trying to shut the thing down. Listen, folks, the light has got to be bright in a dark world. And Lord, help us to stand up for the right and not move to the left, but be exactly where Jesus wants us, balanced, exactly where the doctrine says and where the Bible says we're supposed to be. He wants us to be that. The light. How is our light this afternoon? Are we a light? Let's go to John. On St. John 1 and 9. St. John 1 and 9. Basically saying what the other was. He said here, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, praise God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Oh, thank the Lord for that plan of salvation this afternoon. Luke, the good book of Luke 2. We're getting down to a point, so just bear with me a little bit here, and we'll get to where we're going. To Luke 2 and 30. 2 and 30. It said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Listen, Jesus knew that more than likely, when this thing was finished up and wrapped up, well, even before that, they knew that the Jews was going to not accept this. That's why he told Paul, said, I want you to go to the Gentiles. Lord, I'm going to send you. I'm going to tell you, he come to open this plan wide open to everybody, no matter what race, creed, color. He opened it up to everybody, no matter how young or how old. The Lord's got a plan that fits everybody, praise God. It's not just any plan. It's God's great heavenly salvation plan. And that plan is so great that if you and I will walk in it and live in it and work with it, it'll be a blessing to all those around us. All right, let's go to Matthew 5. Let's get down to, now we'll get on to us. Jesus put it into place. And he said here in Matthew 5 and 14, he said, you're the light of the world. Well, let's go 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If it is therefore thenceforth cast for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a bushel or a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Now here's our commandment. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the light of the world. He just put it out. Ye are the light of the world. A city, you put one on a hill, you can see it for miles and miles. If I'm not mistaken, Jerusalem was up on a mountain. It was up in a place where it could be seen. No matter which way you come to it, you can see it, praise God. The Lord wants the city of God. It's on a mountain. It's on the mountain of God. And it's in a place where people can see it. And he wants our light to shine so bright, praise God, that as we're doing our thing, they can see it. And said, that is the city of God. That's God's people. Said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, give a light unto all that are in the house. Oh, today, why are lights up high? The higher they are, the more they light the room. These are not down on the floor. They're up in the ceiling. They have lights that are on tables and so forth. They have lights that's individual like this with a light up here. And those are up there high enough where that it can transpose the light out, so to speak, where people can see. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all the house, that are all in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now then, is our light shining bright this afternoon? I went into a house one time of a relative. They're here. And anyway, they had a light hanging and some shades on it, not really shades, but your little globe deals over the light bulbs. And the niece encouraged me to clean her light for her. Well, I've cleaned a few of them things in my life. So I tackled the job, but when I got through, I said, do me a favor, don't tell anybody who done this. I was rather embarrassed. I couldn't get it what I wanted. And I'm a man of perfection when it comes to janitorial business in particular. I'm a man of perfection. I want it done right. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I don't know if she spread the word or not that I'd done it because none of my business dropped off. But anyway, the bottom line is, let your light so shine. Let it shine bright where that they can see, praise God. Let Jesus do some rubbing, so to speak. Let him do some cleaning. Let him do whatever he needs to do to bring your light to a greater shine, praise God. A shine that will help people to see that this is the way. Walk you in it. This is the way. I like that way. I see that way. I can see because this person is leading with light, praise God. Between Jesus and him, they're doing things that they've never seen before. Listen, back. There's a lot of hypocritical people out there drinking and smoking and drugging and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, living in adultery, committing fornication. Listen, they're getting in, buying into all this gay marriage business and all of that. We've got a division right here in Oklahoma in the Methodist Church where that some of the churches, and one of them is the largest Methodist church in all of Oklahoma City. No, all of the state of Oklahoma. I think there's five or six of them they wanted to pull away. So I read a little bit of the article. I thought, well, who's pulling what for? Well, those churches want to pull where they say we can give love to those people out there that are, we can make gay preachers out of them. We can just bring them right on in. One man said, the Bible said, love them. I thought, yeah, but it also says hate sin. I love them. I love all the gays and homosexuals. But I got news for you. I also do not like their sin, and I'm not going to back it up. I'm going to let them know they need to get out of that mess. They need to be helped. They need to be cleaned up. They need to be straightened out, so to speak. Oh, today, let the Lord work. Let him work and let him use you. Let that light shine bright, praise God. I like bright light. I like it where I can see when I'm doing anything, where it be cleaning or what it might be. I like the light on. A lot of time, Molly, bless her heart, she works in the kitchen. She never turns the kitchen lights on, especially during the day. There's enough light in there. I walk in, bing, I turn it on. I want more light. Now, I'm not a cook like she is. She can run circles around me in the kitchen and cooking. But the bottom line is, bless God, still, I want plenty of light to see how to mix, to see how to wash and clean. I do the dishes quite a bit. Gone from a janitor to a dishwasher. But anyway, I still do some cleaning too, a little bit, not much. But do the things that I see need to be done. I want to be sure to get it clean, get it right. I want that light. The Lord wants that light too. There's people in the depths of sin that he wants to be able to see there's a way out. And when you go to testify to them, they look at you and say, well, he is different. She is different. I've never seen anything like that. I want them people, Jesus says, to be a light that's set on a hill, that's on a candlestick, that's up high, praise God, where they can see the light and say, I want that. I want that, thank the Lord. Luke 8 and 16. No man, when he lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, put it under the bed, set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Oh, he wants that light to shine. All right, let's go to John 5 and 31. John 5 and 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there is another witness, there is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given to me to finish, and the same works that I do, bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. Said he was a burning and a shining light. Could you say that you're a burning and shining light? The devil wants to cool our fire down. He wants to cool us down, settle us down, calm us down, and the Lord's saying, get them, and you're just sitting back not wanting to do anything. The Lord wants people fired up today, folks. He wants people that's rejoicing, thanking God, praising the Lord. He wants people that know that there is a God, there's a salvation, there's a plan that God has saved me and delivered me, and I'm going to praise God for that plan. I'm going to thank God for the things that he wants me to do, and I'm going to be a light, praise God. Oh, They didn't listen. He was a burning and a shining light. And you're willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Oh, today John was burning. He was on fire. Oh, he done what he needed to do. But bless God, it got so good that they just took him on out. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Don't tell me they're going to take me out of here. Well, they might. They might take you out. They might take me out. All right, let's go to Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts 13 and 30, no, 42. Acts 13 and 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be the salvation of the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. I've sent you to be a light to the Gentiles. Now, number one, everybody in here has their own world. You know people that I don't know, and I know people that you don't know. Even though I travel cross country, hold meetings and camp meetings and so forth, I know a lot of people. A lot of times I'll ask somebody, do you know who I am? Oh, yeah, I know who you are. I might not remember them, but they know who I am. So be it. But anyway, the Lord wants us to go out there, and he wants us to work in our world. Now, you can't be a preacher, maybe. You can't be a missionary, but the bottom line is you can be a missionary per se in the light that you live and the light that you burn out, that burns and lights out there, that they may see this and that they may rejoice in it. I had a man one time that I worked with, and my brother had been working for a brother, and Craig was taking off for about 2 weeks on a vacation, and I was home and had a little bit of time. So Craig said, well, he said, you can come up and help at the place. So I'm not a body man, but he had things I could do, and I did it. And while I was there, I happened to bump into a man that claimed to be a religious man. But he had been in Babylon for years, and he had watched their lives, and he had listened to them. He didn't like what he was hearing, and he didn't like what he was seeing. So while he was there, every day, nearly for several days, he would talk to me about these people. At the end of it, he would take that person and pitch them in what I call the hypocrite trash can. And he put this one in it, then that one in it, day after day after day, till one day he mentioned a saint. And I knew this man. I'd slept in his home. I'd eat off his tables. I'd preached to him numbers of times. We had been in meetings together here and there. I knew him, and I knew him pretty good. And he was a light. And I thought, what's he going to say about this man? He didn't pitch him in a hypocrite trash can. He talked real well of him. He lifted him up, so to speak. I thought, yeah, now that's the difference between a saint and a bunch of hypocrites. That's the difference right there. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be that light in the neighborhood, in the friends, on the jobs, no matter where, that as we're burning for God, they can see something that's different. They can see something that's different. A light. Oh, I'm sending you to be the light of the Gentiles. Oh, Paul, go out there. Do what needs to be done. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Oh, the Jews didn't like it. The Gentiles loved it. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And about the 8th verse. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, you are not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he said here, have no fellowship. There's a scripture that, how does that go? It goes, I can't get a hold of it right now. But anyone, what it's talking about is not, I can't get it. But anyway, basically this is what this is saying. Be not partakers with them. Be not partakers with sinners and so forth. You can live the light, but you don't have to live in the muck. You've got to be a light, and you've got to live a life that they will not challenge you. Well, they will challenge you in a sense, but that they want to get you and pull you down in the muck. They'll know you won't go. I've worn long sleeve shirts for many years, and was back in the back of the part of the business there that is cleaning, and we were back there, and a man, he wore long sleeve shirts. I never paid much attention to it, but Jackson wore long sleeve shirts like I did, and somebody said something to him about it, and he just turned to me and said, pointed at me. Kind of caught me off guard a little bit, but in other words, he was putting it here, I'm doing it, he's doing it, we're both all right. Don't you challenge me on what I'm doing. Listen, folks, we need to live the life. And they'll look at it, and they'll consider it, and they'll weigh it. For you were in darkness sometime, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, let us reprove them in love. I had a couple that living together back in the early to mid 70s. And you didn't have shacking up like you do today. You had some, but it was rather reserved and not as bold and outright. And this couple had come down there to my station, and I'd get on to them. I'd lay it out here, and I'd lay it out there, and I'd lay it out here, and I'd lay it out there. It's a wonder I didn't run them off. They just kept coming back. But you know what? They wouldn't change. No matter how much I told them that sin is sin and corruption and what you're doing is wrong, they still wanted to follow their way. Reprove them in love. They still came back. I still reproved them more. But they didn't keep coming back. They didn't quit coming back. They stayed right in there. And it's a wonder I didn't run them off, but I didn't. But anyway, just have no fellowship. Reprove them. Rather reprove them. Oh, there's a lot of unfruitful works of unrighteousness out there. A lot of sin, corruption that is out there. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The Lord has got a way of opening things up. He's got a way of working when nobody else can work. All right, let's go to Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter and 12. How's our light doing this afternoon? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, doeth all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So he said here, do all things. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let him lead you and guide you. You and I never know when we'll meet somebody that needs God. We don't know how bad things are in their life till they open up to us and tell us. So consequently, let him work. Let him lead. Let him guide you to the people that he wants you to work with, that he wants you to help. That's the reason we teach and preach. Learn the Bible. Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Understand the doctrines. That way, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can quote scriptures and give it to them. Oh, today, Lord, help us that you may be blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth, that I may rejoice. Listen, the ministers, let's see, there's another scripture that backs that up over here in John, 2 John maybe it is, or 3 John. Said, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The ministers are blessed. When you're out there living the light, and it's shining bright, and people are seeing this light, and they're coming to meeting, they're coming around, they're showing themselves of an interest, and that then opens the door for the rest of the saints when we feel it's right to help them, to give a little bit more light, to give some scripture, whatever it might be, to give something out there that will help them. All right, now then, let's get down to part of my rest of my burden. Do we live in a world full of hate today? Do we live in a world full of wrath, anger, malice, jealousy, envy? We live in a world this afternoon, folks, that is full of everything but the right thing. So consequently, our light, the light of love, needs to shine out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting light. Listen, Jesus come down. His love was a drawing to people. His love was a working to open up and to help. And listen, folks, the world out there needs to see the love of God if they ever saw it today. And they can see it right through you and I as the light of love shines out. They look at it. They wonder, well, this is not normal. Listen, it is getting so bad. That seemed like everybody's attacking everybody. Everybody's killing everybody. There's shootings every day anymore. Maybe 2, 3, 4, 10, 15 people killed at one time. It is happening all over our United States. If they ever need to see love, I'd say it's now. They need to see that love. They need to see it shining forth. Just like Jesus, his love shined forth when he was here. They need to see a pity. They need to see a compassion that they don't see anywhere else. They need to see something that will bless them richly. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now then, the 16th verse of this 1 John 3 and John 3:16 is almost the same. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, and then he challenges us. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth? Listen, folks, people know, just like that man I was talking about a while ago, he knew a hypocrite. He knew what a hypocrite was, and he pitched him in a trash can. He did not like that. Listen, they need to see. And said, who has this world good? And see the brother have need and shut it up in bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Listen, they need to see somebody that will help them if they need help. They need help. Jesus went along and he helped person after person after person. He healed them. He done all kind of things for them because of the love that he had. He was reaching out just as far as he could go, reaching and doing for people. And they responded to him. They'll respond to you too if you show them love. The light of love this afternoon is a great thing that you and I need to show over and over and over. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. It said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That's another reason that we tell people they need to be sanctified. They need to have the filling of the Holy Spirit, because there the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. God is love. And consequently, we have the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of love, it's going to shine forth. It's going to go out there and help people to see, this is somebody different than what I've ever met. Is a light of love shining in us today? Can people see a light of love? They're down and out. One sister told me one time, she was a pastor's wife, and in the neighborhood where they lived, they was living on one street, and about two or three streets behind them was another couple in the congregation. And she felt led to go back there and talk and be with this sister. Husbands were both out doing their thing. And so she went back there and spent some time with her, prayed with her and talked with her and visited with her and maybe give her scripture and so forth. And she went back to the house. A little bit, this sister called her and said, "You don't know what a blessing you was." Her love shined out. Her love, her warm love, not just any kind of love, but a love that they can feel a warmness about it, praise God. The devil wants to cool everything off we got about us. Have you ever taken a hot tub of water and allowed a little bit of cool water, and I'm not talking about a big bunch of water coming out, but maybe a stream big as your finger or smaller? Do you know how fast it'll cool that tub of water off? It don't take very long at all, folks. That water begins to cool down. So consequently, you've got to keep the hot flowing in and keep the cool pushed out, so to speak, and that way it don't cool down too much. It'll stay good and warm and hot. It'll be exactly what the Lord wants it to be, praise God. So she went back there, and she talked to her. And that sister said, "Oh, you're a blessing. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for showing me love, showing me pity, showing me compassion." Listen, folks, today, even the saints need compassion. They need love. They need pity. They need the love that we have to one another. Oh, we need to show plenty of love to one another. We need to show plenty of love to those that come to these services. Local folks today, are you thanking people for coming to this meeting? Do you go around? I make it a habit. I even do it at meetings that I'm not even from, so to speak. I've been at Guthrie over 50 years as far as this is, in a way, my home congregation. And the bottom line is, when people come from here and here and here, I say, "Thank you for coming." What about the rest of you? Have you been thanking anybody? Have you thanked the minister for coming? Have you thanked the saint for coming? Have you thanked the visitor for coming? The local people that is not of the congregation, particularly kinfolks or whatever, are we thanking them? Are they seeing that love that we've got? We need to show it warm and effectual, whereby they'll see something that'll draw them. Listen, if you go to Babylon, this is my understanding, if you go to Babylon, they're about all over you. You know, "We're glad you're here. Come back again. Oh, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number?" They want to get a hold of you as quick as you can. Listen, I told the congregation that I pastor that if people come, and I've been right up there, well, not in them bitches, but the other chapel, be up there and service and get over. And I had so many people around me, I couldn't go anywhere. And there's some new people back there to talk to. I said, "You go talk to them. You tell them we're glad you're here. You show them love. You show them compassion. You talk to them, because I'm not always able to get loose like I would like to." Well, what are we doing? Are they really feeling that they're wanted, that they're desirous for us, for them to be here? Are they really feeling that? Are they seeing this is a body of people that I like? That light of love. That light of love and mercy and pity and compassion. Listen, folks, the Lord can work, but you and I got to do something too. Amen. We got to do something too. We can't just sit on our laurels all the time. We need to do something. Young people, you can be a light in a dark world. Say, "Well, I can't do anything, preacher." Yes, you can too. You can show love to all those around you. our balanced love, a right love, a godly and righteous and holy love, and they'll look at that light of love and they'll say, wow, they love me. Where did you say you go to church at? Oh, over there, okay. Why don't you come join us, all right? Oh, today, are we letting them see that light of love? Are they really seeing it real good? Let's go to Matthew 5 and 9. Time's getting away from me here. I've got plenty more to preach, but I'm going to try by the help of the Lord to get it down where we can wrap it up here in a little bit. 5 and 9 of the good book of Matthew. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, what about a light of peace? Have you ever thought about being a light of peace? There is so many people that is doing so much wrong. There was a man that went in to rob a bank. He pulled his shirt up over the bottom part of his face, his t-shirt type deal. And there was a man over here, and he was over here. And this man over here was looking at him, and he thought, that's my neighbor. I know that man. So the one over here walked up the teller and slipped her a note, said, I've got a gun, I need your money. Was fixing to rob her. This man over here went over there to him. And he started showing him love, and he started showing him pity and compassion. He gave him a hug. He took him outside. Let's go outside and talk a little bit. While they went outside, the people called the police. They come picked him up. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Nobody was robbed. All because of love. Now listen, folks, that's pretty good. I looked at her. I thought, well, praise God. That's better than some things I'm seeing today. Instead of him pulling a gun out over here and shooting this man over here, like some people might do, he's hugging him and loving him and taking him outside. And it all ends perfectly. And nobody's hurt. Nobody's robbed. Lord, help us. Today, when we see something that we can be a peacemaker in, let us step in and say, let's do it this way, or let's do it that way. Let's not get in a fight and an argument here. We need peace. We need a lot of peace, folks. This world is rotten in wrath and anger and malice and jealousy, and they need a lot of peace and love where they can see something they can't see otherwise. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father which art in heaven. 12th chapter of Hebrews. They're about the 14th verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now there's people that think you can just go to heaven any old way. That's not what my Bible tells me. That's not what your King James Version tells you neither. Follow peace with all men. Be peaceful as you can with everybody, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, it's going to take this holiness, this being clean, perfected, and worked on by the Holy Spirit and God to bring about a holiness of righteousness that when we die, we will go out to meet Him in peace. Oh, today, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. James 3 and 17. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So he said here, but the wisdom that is from above. Now I would take that to be God's wisdom flowing down to you and I. And it said there, it's coming down. And it said here that it's, first thing it says, it's pure, then peaceable. Wow. Ain't going to be no fussing and fighting in this deal. There's going to be plenty of pureness and holiness and peacefulness and gentleness and easy to be entreated. Listen, if you got this, ain't going to be no fussing and fighting, folks. They're not going to be shooting and killing. There's going to be a lot of love and mercy, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. In other words, you're living the light of light that is showing the people that this is the way. Walk you in it, praise God. Oh, today, let us show them that peace. Let them show them that I have peace, plenty of peace. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. We'll be through here in a little bit. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is there any joy in the world today? I'd say there's very little in the right joy. There may be somewhat of some worldly joy, and that ain't even much of that anymore. The devil has got everything going in such a turmoil this way that every time they turn around, they're all angry and fussed about everything. But bless God, you and I have got something they need. We have a joy. We have a joy that they need to see that this is something that is better than all the fussing and fighting out there and all the things. So how's our joy shining forth? Are they seeing something that, hey, I like that? We want them to like what we have. There was a man one time on a train. He had some apples, some good apples. And he was trying to sell those apples, and he couldn't sell them. He'd walking up down, apples, apples, good apples, delicious apples, and they wasn't buying an apple. So finally, he went up to one or two of the people riding the train and said, I want you to do me a favor, okay? I'm going to give you an apple, and I want you to eat this apple, and I want you to make it sound like it's real good. And that's what they did. They started chowing down. And next thing, I'll take one of them. Give me one of them over there. Oh, they saw that it was good. Tasted. They got to biting, and then more bought. He sold all of his apples out because they found out it was good, folks. Let the love, the light of love, the light of peace, the light of joy, let it shine forth where they can see something they don't see otherwise. Second Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying in you. For I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Uh-oh. Lord, help us. I'm exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation. Now, I could be wrong, but there's a lot of people who will never get nowhere close to what Paul went through. He went through a lot of things. In the deep, and this happened to him, and that happened to him, and that happened to him. He went through a lot of things, but he said, here I am filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Listen, when we're going through trials and battles, Lord, help the joy to shine forth and for them to see that there is something inside that's helping us. I'm talking to Carl too. When I'm up at 3:00 in the morning and my legs are driving me crazy and I can't sleep, I'm not always shouting glory, glory. I'll just be honest with you. Last night I think I got to sleep, what was it? I don't even remember now. After a while, if you're up and down so much, you can pray during the night and so forth and pray some more, you can read and whatever. But then you get up the next morning and everything's been so topsy-turvy, you can't remember totally what you've done all night. At least I can't. So the Lord wants us to be joyful. When people see people are joyful in tribulation, in trials and battles, things that we go through, and that joy is flowing forth, they look at that and they go, wow, how's our joy? How's our joy doing? All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to Luke 10:30. Let your light so shine. How's our light shining today? 10:30 of the good book of Luke. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance they come by a certain way, a priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, the last person in the world that should do this, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound him up, bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? This man's light was pretty bright, wasn't it? We got a hurting world. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And I can get off on my little bandwagon and preach 30 minutes just on comfort. But the bottom line is we have people among us. We have people out in the world that needs us to show comfort, pity, and compassion to them. They need to know that we're right there with them. They need to know if they call us at any time, day or night, I'm there for you. I will help you. I tell them, if you need something, let me know. I get texts during the night, get texts early morning, late night, and so forth. People calling. They want to talk. They want prayer, whatever it might be. And I'm saying, we'll do it again. We'll do it again. I want them to know I love them. I want them to know I'm praying for them and will pray for them. Whatever they need, if I can do it, I'll do it for them. And this man, the most unlikely man to do this that was at war between these two bodies of people, and he come by and he showed compassion to him. Listen, folks, there's a lot of wounded people out there in the world. Amen. There's a lot of wounded people. And they need you and I to bind up their wounds and to pour in the word of God, so to speak, and to help them in every way that we can help them. All right, wrapping it up, Acts 16. Acts the 16th chapter and the 26th verse, 16:26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately the doors were opened, everyone's bands were loose, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. They took them the same hour, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sojourners, saying, let those men go. Now then, and the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Oh, today, here's another case of the light. Here is Jesus, or not Jesus, but Paul and him, in prison, in trouble. But yet, when the tables were turned, they went to work. They went to work helping. And the man responded to them. And the two of them worked them together. The man got saved, I believe his house got saved, and everybody was rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. Oh, today, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something to have a situation where the whole house was saved? Or maybe a whole congregation gets saved because of certain things happening? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Let your light so shine. How's our light doing today? Is it bright? Is people looking at it and saying, I like that. I like that. Or are they looking over and saying, well, I don't know. Our light needs to be bright and shining. We appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this afternoon. Pray for me.